Welcome to After Deadline, and you're listening on Coast Community Radio. This is Patrick Webb from The Daily Astorian, and our guest today is Bruce Goldberg, who's director of the Oregon Health Authority. Welcome.
Thank you, Patrick. Glad to be here.
All right. Well, we're going to be talking in the next half hour about some health issues, particularly some changes that may be happening on the horizon and being discussed. Well, if you are an Oregon Health Plan member, and there are some 600,000 of those around Oregon, particularly if you've got a chronic illness, you can face a dizzying array of barriers to good care. You may find yourself being handed off from specialist to primary care provider and back again to address your health needs, often in an uncoordinated and fragmented way. Well, Bruce Goldberg and colleagues at the authority are trying to change that, and they've been holding a series of meetings around the community, including in Astoria, to address this issue and some plans going ahead. Tell us about what's been going on and what the future holds.
Sure. Well, let me start with why we're doing this. And what the issue we're trying to address is, I think as everybody knows, healthcare has become increasingly unaffordable for all of us. Whether we're run a business, it's hard to find enough dollars to pay for health insurance for workers. It's hard for the average person to purchase health insurance or even to afford to go to a doctor. And for us at the state, it's been increasingly hard to continue to find the dollars to be able to cover our most vulnerable citizens. And one of the issues about that is that, as you indicated, care is often fragmented. We spend a lot as a nation on health care. We are not, by any stretch of the imagination, the healthiest nation. We can certainly do better. And right now, the state budget really calls for our needing to be able to create a more efficient, better healthcare system. That's what we're trying to do. 20% of people with chronic illness account for about 80% of the healthcare dollars. And the focus of our changes is how we can make a system that provides care for particularly for people with chronic illness in a way that's more efficient, less fragmented, and most importantly, that begins to focus more on prevention rather than the treatment of problems. As I go around the state, I don't know anybody who really wants to be in the hospital more or wants to go to the doctor more than they do now or take more medicine or get more tests. So, you know, the issue is really how we start to change a healthcare system which is really geared at production, getting people into a hospital, into a doctor, and it's not getting the three goals that I think all of us want to see from a healthcare system. One is, first, better health. Our healthcare system isn't about more healthcare. It's really about a healthcare system that can keep us healthy, that can help us get care in a better manner, a less difficult to manage system, better quality care. And lastly, a way that can help us afford it, lower cost. So we think that we can create local coordinated care organizations, organizations that bring together doctors and hospitals, specialists, primary care providers, all the people who provide services in a community along with consumers.
Well, let's address this, because this is an element that you've been highlighting in the meetings that that you've been having around the state a little earlier. The coordinated care organizations. Now, some people might hear that and think that there's another layer of bureaucracy, or woe is me. That might sound initially negative, but clearly that's something that's a cornerstone of the program. Can you explain how that works?
Sure. Actually, this is a way to, we hope, get rid of a lot of the layers of bureaucracy in healthcare and really push healthcare and healthcare decision making down to a local level and put it down to the level between people who get healthcare and people who provide it. What the local coordinated care organization is an organization which will be governed by consumers and providers of care jointly. They'll be responsible for two things. One is for managing the budget, an amount of healthcare, amount of dollars for healthcare for a community that can grow at a sustainable rate, 2 to 3, 4% a year, much like hopefully wages can grow and state revenues can grow. But equally as important, really responsible for outcomes, for the health of the population and for being able to meet certain outcomes of the things we expect from a healthcare system. And we really think that that local communities really know how to use healthcare dollars the best. And we've seen a lot of examples around the state where local communities have been innovative, have been able to do things such as, I mean, I'll give you some examples. Out in Central Oregon, there's a community where they began to look at the 100 people in the community who'd been to the emergency room the most frequent. These are people that had been to the emergency room 20, 30, 40, over 50 times in a year. Really remarkable. And what they learned when they talked to these individuals was that the problems really weren't things that should be treated in an emergency room. These were a lot of individuals with mental health problems and untreated substance abuse. And when they got, when their care was better coordinated, when they were able to find good mental health care, they had community health workers come out and visit them, and they were able to dramatically decrease their health care costs and improve the lives of these individuals. We know that if we can get community health workers to go and see people who have heart failure or asthma, be certain that they're taking their medicines, help provide some home care, that'll keep people out of the hospital, provide better health, and is a much better way to have a healthcare system. Right now, when I talk to primary care docs around the state or others, if a primary care office were to hire somebody to go and see people at home, check in on them once a week, keep them out of the hospital, our healthcare system doesn't pay for that. We only pay primary care doctors when someone walks into their office. So communities are starting to figure this out. And by being able to have the dollars go to the community can then figure out how best to use the dollars and be accountable for keeping people healthy. So, you know, the goals would be, we want you to decrease the number of people with asthma that end up in the hospital. And how can we make a community healthier?
Okay. Well, you are listening to After Deadline here on Coast Community Radio. Patrick Webb from the Daily Astorian, and our guest today, Bruce Goldberg, the director of the Oregon Health Authority. Well, now you keep talking about the money allocated to regions for health. Without having our listeners' eyes glaze over with the financial details, how exactly is there a way to explain how that works in a simple way?
Sure. Probably in the simplest way, right now, the state legislature has given us a 2-year budget for the Oregon Health Plan to be able to take care of 600,000 people. We know the dollars we have for the next 2 years, and we can begin to apportion that community by community. And there's ways that the industry uses to be able to be certain that, you know, some communities have different risks than others. I mean, you can imagine that a community with a younger population maybe needs a little less money to care for them than a community that might have more seniors or more people who have HIV or things like that.
So there's some sort of formula that's allocates the, what is it, $5 billion or whatever?
Well, we spend $5.2 billion in a 2-year period.
I hope you spend it wisely.
we can spend it more wisely, I think, is the issue. We can be We can be more efficient, we can be more effective, and we can put more of those dollars into keeping people healthy rather than treating them when they're sick.
Well, you talked a little about prevention, and I'm hoping that we'll have time to include that in our discussion in the second half of this program. But tell us a little about, let's back up and tell us a little about how this all came about. It seems like health has suddenly became newsworthy some years ago, particularly because of the cost element in this country, and obviously it got high attention in the federal level with Obama or Obamacare, as some of his opponents call it. But here in Oregon, we've been dealing with it for quite a while, just quietly on our own, really. And, of course, the governor has a health background. Does that assist in helping your agency sort of focus its attention? Because the governor's certainly... certainly an expert in many fields, but in health in particularly.
He's our state's greatest asset around healthcare, and really has been the catalyst for a lot of the work that we're doing. I mean, we have a governor who, one, is a physician, so he really understands the healthcare industry. Two, he's been a governor before and really understands the political environment and has tremendous experience. And so he's really the person who's been a lot of the catalyst and a lot of the vision behind the changes that we're doing, because I think he understands we're really at a tipping point. You mentioned that health care is in the news a lot now, and I think that's because of two factors. One, the costs are just growing so astronomically, it's becoming so hard for everybody to keep up. And number two, we've got a growing number of people who can't get health care, and the two are related. We've got a finite amount of money, and the more we spend, the less we have to be able to cover others. And you know, what we're trying to do here in Oregon is the federal reform that President Obama is working on seeks to bring more people into coverage, which is great. What we're trying to do is we really feel that that's laudable, and we're certainly very supportive. But at the same time, if we bring more people into a system that we can't afford, we run risks down the road. So our goal here in Oregon is to be able to create the kind of stable financial platform on which hopefully federal reform, health reform can rest.
Okay, well, certainly a laudable goal. Patrick Webb from the Daily Estero, and our guest Bruce Goldberg here on Coast Community Radio, and we're talking all about health. Well, now you've been at a series of community meetings all over the state, getting input. And what are people telling you the highest priorities are on health?
Well, oh, it's been great. There are a lot of themes that come out at these meetings. First and foremost is this whole idea of local accountability is really something that resonates with people. So they really feel that they're community can rise to the occasion, and they would really like an opportunity to figure out how to do this locally. Certainly don't want someone from Salem or Washington, D.C. telling them what to do. Number two, I think people understand that the system is way too complicated, and they want a simpler healthcare system.
Part of the system are we talking about? Providers or the financial side or insurance side?
All the above.
All of them.
I think we talk to providers of care. They're frustrated by the amount of time they spend in the bureaucracy and red tape and want more time with their patients and want to move away from what they feel is production line medicine where, you know, they have to see someone every 10 minutes, et cetera. So providers feel really pinched by it all. And I think patients also feel their doctors are rushed, it's complicated, they get sent from place to place, it's hard. I tried to change an appointment for my father a few weeks ago. It took literally almost 2 hours on the telephone. It was hard, and yet I could get an airline ticket to fly to the other side of the country to see them in about 3 minutes. It's a complex system. And lastly, it makes total sense to people that we should focus our energies on preventing things rather than spending lots and lots of dollars taking care of them after problems have happened. And people really get that. They understand the logic behind it, and they'd really like to see a system that focuses more on health and less on all sorts of complex health care.
Okay. Well, let's address the prevention issue, because it's certainly starting to be talked about. It's been talked about in health circles for years, but it's now sort of hitting the sort of general media, and it's going beyond that personal fitness and exercise. It's really going into the treating the whole person, things like this. What are the key areas that you see that we maybe should be doing now beyond education on the prevention side?
Well, if you look at what makes us sick and what attributes to our health, about 40% of it is our lifestyle, what we eat, what we don't eat, how much we exercise, the air that we breathe, whether it's clean. All those things are really what attributes to our health, whether we smoke cigarettes, whether we drink alcohol in excess, whether we use illegal or even legal drugs to excess, all of those things. We have an epidemic of diabetes in this country, an epidemic of obesity. We have the first generation of children that, this is always astounding to me, we have the first generation of children that are likely to live a shorter lifespan than us.
Is that right? Yeah. I wasn't familiar with that statistic. Can you just repeat that?
Yeah, we were the first generation of children that are likely to live a shorter lifespan than their parents, and that's because of the growing epidemic of obesity in children and young adults. When I went to medical school 30 years ago, it was an exceedingly rare event to see a child that had the diabetes there's two kinds of diabetes. One is, your pancreas doesn't work well, you need insulin. But the second kind of diabetes is a kind of diabetes a lot of people get when we grow older. It's called type 2 diabetes. Rare we ever saw a child with that. Rare we ever saw a child with high blood pressure or heart problems that were due to anything other than a birth defect. Today, you talk to pediatricians, they see many children with diabetes, with high blood pressure, who will, develop complications and are going to die prematurely. So we really have a problem, and we've got to do something about it.
And is the problem diet and proper rearing at an early age?
It's diet. It's diet. It's exercise. It's the amount of time kids spend in front of screens, whether they be television screens or whatever, and not getting any physical activity. It's the fact that we build communities today without sidewalks, and where the whole notion is how you can get in your car and get to some place. That takes a toll on us as a...
But how do we break out of that then?
I think it's going to be... First, we've got to recognize the problem. Second, we've got to be able to come up with a 10, 15-year plan to combat this. I'll give you an example. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, almost half the population smoked cigarettes. It was seen as something that was just fine to do. It was acceptable. It was great. We've learned that smoking is bad for our health, and we've had a concerted effort to decrease smoking. We've done it in a lot of ways, through education. We've done it through public policy. Can't go into a restaurant and smoke cigarettes now. We've done a variety of things that it's no longer acceptable to sell cigarettes to kids under 18. We've done it through a combination of education, public policy, changing laws. And I think we can look at some of the same things around obesity. It's how we build our communities, put schools in the center of communities. Kids can walk to them rather than take buses. It's how we educate people about food. It's about physical activity in our schools, being certain that kids actually get physical activity. We can turn this around. It's about portion size that we get. It's understand. It's things like being able to know how many calories of food is that you buy. I think there's a lot of things that we can do, and we need to start now.
Well, are you optimistic that there's success? One of my pet peeves about America, and listeners know that I love this country. I've been here 30 years and think it's wonderful. But my biggest pet peeve is that we don't see beyond the next congressional election. It's a 2-year plan. It's never a 10-year plan. We used to laugh at the Chinese and the Indians. They had the 10-year plan for harvests or whatever. And we've never been able to embrace that concept on anything in this country, really.
Well, I'll quote one of your former countrymen, Winston Churchill. What is the quote? He said that the Americans will eventually do the right thing after they've tried everything else. And I think I say that because I think I'm optimistic in that I think we're at a tipping point in healthcare.
Okay.
I think that we're not getting the outcomes that we want. We can't afford it anymore. It's so important. In this state, we had someone who developed a simple pill that can cure cancer. It's fantastic. And yet we have a really complicated system and not everybody can get that pill. I think we know that there's a better way to do things. I think the population is ready. I think we've tried all sorts of things already over the last decades, and I think we're ready to change. And
okay.
I think it makes sense.
What happens now then? What kickstarts this?
So I think the kickstart now is creating coordinated care organizations, creating a new culture, a new way of delivering healthcare in communities. We're right now drawing up the plans for that. We have 4 work groups that have 133 different people from all over the state. It's phenomenal. We put out a call for interest. Over 400 people applied. We have 133 of the smartest minds in the state who represent, doctors and nurses and senior advocates and people who run hospitals and university professors from all over the and consumers of healthcare from all over the state. We've got these 4 work groups. They're helping us figure out what these organizations will look like, what the global budget will be, what these outcome metrics, what we're going to hold people accountable to is going to be. We're putting together a plan. We're going to deliver it to the legislature in February.
Okay.
Hopefully they will approve it. And then if they do, we need to get some federal approval. But we're working very closely with the federal government, who's extremely supportive. They have a similar problem. They've got Medicare. And I think that the federal government is really looking for states that can figure out how to deliver better care at a better price. They're very supportive of this. Hopefully we can get their support. And then we hope to begin to have some of these organizations up and running in July.
July next year.
Yeah, it's a quick timeline, but it's an aggressive timeline. But we've got some budget realities in the state, and we've got some real healthcare emergencies that we've got to focus on. Then it's got our attention, and we need to move quick.
Well, let's wave your magic wand and say, okay, that works. It goes through the legislature and that follows the timetable. How are we on the sort of receiving end, if you like? How will we know it's working? What will be the signs that it's working?
I think there'll be several. One, we'll have people in communities who will talk about how they've got a healthcare system that works for them. I think we'll see it on the budgetary front, where we'll be able to deliver health care in an effective way to individuals on the Oregon Health Plan. Right now, when we don't have enough money, we cut people off of care. That's not very acceptable. We paid doctors and hospitals less. That's not acceptable. Those costs just get shifted to somebody else. We cut benefits. I think we'll see a stop to that. We'll see more security and availability of health care. And I think that particularly for individuals who have chronic illness, they'll see a health care system that's more responsive to their needs, that's easier, simpler, and they'll feel better. And we're looking at this as a pilot project for the 600,000 people on the Oregon Health Plan. If we can do this over the next several years, we think this is then a model that others can be a part of.
Well, you say others. You mentioned the federal government has some involvement in approving things. Might it become a model for the rest of the country?
We hope so. The governor was just back in Washington, D.C., talking to the feds, and gave addressed a group of healthcare experts saying exactly this, that we are at a tipping point. We haven't figured out yet how to afford to be able to cover care for everybody. We know that 30% of care is inefficient and ineffective, and we need to be able to address that. And what we've done to date hasn't worked. And so the focus is really local control, local accountability, provide resources to local communities, and we think they can figure it out the best.
What will this mean for folks that aren't on the Oregon plan? Will they be affected in ways?
Indirectly, when we have an inefficient healthcare system on the side of the Oregon Health Plan, those costs get shifted onto the rest of us who aren't on the Oregon Health Plan. So we'll certainly see some of that effect. I think that's the major effect that we'll see, and hopefully, however, what the rest of us will see is some of the things that innovations that develop locally in communities will spread to them as well. I'd love to be able to have a community health worker come and help take care of my dad. That would be great. I'd love to be able to have his care better coordinated. I spend a few hours every week coordinating his care.
Well, it certainly sounds like a monumental task. Is there, as we wrap up in the last minute and a half here, any particular areas of the discussion that we haven't covered?
No, I think done a great job. We're certainly hoping that a story as a community will rise to the occasion, that doctors and the hospital and others will come together as a real community solution. And if they do that, I think it'd be wonderful for the community, and everybody will see a difference.
Well, good deal. Well, you have been listening to After Deadline here on Coast Community Radio. I'm Patrick Webb from the Daily Historian, and our guest today has been Bruce Goldberg, Director of the Oregon Health Authority. Bruce Goldberg, thank you very much for joining us.
Patrick, it's been a pleasure. Hope to talk to you again.
All right. Well, we are signing off, and we hope you've enjoyed our program, and look forward to catching you again on After Deadline.